Spiritual warfare. In all probability, you think spiritual warfare is mundane. It's a spiritual term. But I wonder if you realize that you personally have been enlisted as a warrior and that you are involved in spiritual warfare. For real. Now, each one of us, whether we realize it or not, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is engaged in one way or another in a spiritual battle. Now listen to me. The real battle is between Jesus Christ and Satan, not you. Why is this? That's because Satan wants to dethrone Jesus. Satan wants the credit, not him. He does not want him to be honored, exalted, enthroned, or in any way paid homage to. That's Satan's big deal. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you start giving him, Jesus, praise, authority in your life, you now have become an adversary. You now have become a problem. You got to be taken care of, mister. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Now, I want to read a story to you. I want to read a story. This is true. He died looking me straight in the eyes. September 15th, 1944, the 1st Marine Division assaulted the coral island of Peleliu in the Western Carolinas. 19-year-old Private First Class Ivan Leroy Imes, a Marine radioman, manning a 30-caliber machine gun in B Company, 3rd Armored Amphibious Track Battalion, is in zero wave. That is before the first wave. The only people in front of him are the enemy, waiting. Japanese, sitting behind their machine guns, by their mortars, watching the silent, hidden enemy. The amphibs thundered across the coral reef and the Japanese began firing and hitting. Stakes in the coral and stakes out in the water, all placed earlier by Colonel Nagawaga's soldiers, marked off the exact distance for the Japanese mortar men. Before D-Day is over, these Marines will lose one half of their vehicles. Many of them are just sitting ducks. In the first 8 days of fighting, some units will lose 60% of their men, either wounded and killed. Imes' tank touches sand, dashes onto the beach. A Japanese shell rips completely through the tank. Sliding steel doors hidden in a coral cave somewhere up in the Bloody Nose Ridge had actually opened up silently, and a Japanese artilleryman has the amphib squarely in his sights, and it's a direct hit. Imes yells, "Let's get out of here!" They get out fast. The Marines on the beach are being ripped apart. Imes passes one man whose stomach was completely blown away. Only a thin piece of skin on each of his sides holding them together. Peleliu, which is the island, will be no pushover. Imes is racing for cover, ready to do battle, now as an infantryman. Remember, he's a tank man. The sand in front of him goes pop, pop, pop. Machine gun sprayed the burst of bullets at him. As soon as that strip was laid down, I ran for cover. I didn't get far when I saw that the machine gunner was just hit. A Marine lays in a pool of blood. He has been riddled from his ankles to his throat by the burst, lying there about to die. The wounded Marine grabs Imes. "Mate, I need help. Do you know how to pray?" "Pray? I don't know how to pray. I don't know anything about religion. Nothing. But there was a fellow crawling along a little ridge above us. I reached up and I grabbed him and I pulled him down and I said, 'Do you know how to pray?' He cussed me out and I figured I had the wrong guy. When I turned back to the wounded man, he died, looking me straight in the eyes. Imes could offer no help. I didn't know how to help him. That machine gun could have gotten me a few more feet. I'd been wondering what happens to a guy when he dies. I wondered where that dead Marine went when he died. I didn't know, but I was sure of one thing. I was going to find out. But the war goes on, and Iams stumbles over an wounded Marine. This time his upper lip is shot off. With no upper lip, he's still smoking a cigarette. So Iams and a corpsman rush over to help the man, and a Jeep comes up behind them, and the Jeep is hit. The Jeep literally disappears, and two riders with it. There wasn't one large piece of anything left, just smoke. But some of the shrapnel of that explosion hit me, Iams said. There was a hole in my left knee about the size of a lemon. An artery was hanging out, like a little finger, hanging out of my knee and pumping blood on the ground in rhythm with a heartbeat. Iams shouts, "I'm hit!" The corpsman he is with is hit too. His left arm is blown off. Staggering over to Iams, he says in an apoplectic tone, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I'll be able to help you." And he kneels over, dead. Iams is finally evacuated to a hospital ship. And later on, the rest of the story goes, Iams is determined to find out, how do you pray, what do you pray, and who do you pray to, and what is this all about? Iams did give his heart to Jesus. He found the answers to that. Gave his heart to Jesus, and for the remaining years of his life, 60-some years, he led other men to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and helped them learn how to grow and feed themselves to the point where they were able to help other men learn how to grow and feed themselves. All because of a guy on a beach who was dying, and he looked him straight in the eye and said, "Do you know how to pray?" Now that 19-year-old that was dying and wanted to know how to pray missed opportunities 13 years prior when he could have found out. Lesson learned, moral of the story, now that you're well, now that you're not in a conflict, take and make use of your opportunities, because tomorrow you may be lying inside. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's physical combat. In real life, you and I are engaged in spiritual battle. In real life, the enemy is out to render you and me absolutely 100% useless. How do we know that? 1 Peter tells us that. Who knows the reference? 1 Peter 5:8. Come on, loud.
Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Looking what?
For someone to devour.
Just to trip up, isn't it? What does devour mean? What? Consume. Destroy. Do away with. Absolutely useless. Put you on the shelf. Has been. That's what Satan is out to do with you, my sister. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. You believe that? Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a friend who called me and he said, "Dick, I need you to pray for me because I'm meeting with," and he told me who he was meeting with, "and this is what I really need to have happen, and I'm frustrated and I don't know the answers." I said, "I'd be happy to." So you know what I did? I started praying for him. And you know what I prayed? I shot up an intercontinental, by the way, this guy's in Finland. So I shot up an intercontinental ballistic prayer. That means I went to Finland by prayer through God. Are you with me so far? I didn't say, "Oh Lord, bless him. Bless him and be with him and help him." I didn't pray that. I instead claimed verses of Scripture for him. "Father, you said that you would be with that man regardless of the circumstance because he's your son. You also said that you would not leave him. You also said, do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. So, Father, I'm asking that that promise of what you said about yourself would be understood by him and he would grasp it for himself. I'm asking that your word will become the lamp to his feet and the light to his path. I'm asking that he will find your word and eat it, and your word will become the joy and rejoicing of his heart, not circumstances. I'm praying, I'm asking and agreeing with you that he will lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset him, and he'll run with patience the race you've set before him. How? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. Why? Lest he become weary and faint in his mind. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint. That's what I prayed for this man. So what I did is I went to battle for him, intercontinental-wise, just like that. So it wasn't some mimsy-pamsy little spiritual, religious, whimsy thing. I asked the Lord Jesus to come to do battle, to send warriors to do battle for this young man. I called certain spirits by name. The spirit of what? The spirit of confusion. The spirit of unbelief. That the Bible talks about each of these. The spirit of confusion. The spirit of unbelief. The spirit of despair. Specifically, I called them by name and I said, Father, I'm asking that you send the warriors to fight for him against those spirits and encourage him in your word. Now, do you think I did any good? If you think so, you go like this. If you don't, you go like this. If you're not sure, go like this. You and I do battle for our brothers and sisters by taking their burden on ourselves and taking it to our Father and wrestling with that. You and I have been called on not to sit on the beach while the enemy takes pop shots at us. Can you imagine those Marines when they take an island? They're coming in with tanks. They're coming in with men jumping off and walking through the water. They've got a rifle in their hand. They've got ammunition on their body. They've got grenades. And they have no idea how to fire that weapon. What a sad, sad situation. Loaded to kill, to render the enemy useless, but they don't know how to use the weapon. Now, that's why you are in this class. You are learning how to take the supernatural powers that have been made available to you, the Word of God and prayer, and render that effective against the enemy, who's out to render you absolutely useless. That's right. Now, he'll do it through unbelief. He'll do it through despair. He'll do it through the obvious. Now, for instance, what's the obvious? What's the obvious trip up in each of your lives? What's the... Huh?
Pride?
Laziness? What? Self? Fear?
Complacency?
Doubt? Lack of faith? Discouragement. Okay, let's get in something more tangible you can look at.
Money.
How about the three C's for guys? Cars, cash, and cuties. Yeah.
Security.
What's that?
Security.
Yeah, these are the obvious things. Thievery. You guys that work for other companies, what do you take home with you? How many pens? How many other things? And when they say no cell phones, when they say no personal calls, when they say no fax machines, when they say, how are you on that stuff? Okay? Those are the areas that Satan will trip you up at. Because you've got a brother over here who just became a Christian. And he's in your office. And you've been praying for him. But he notices that you've been pilfering with some of the company stuff. Now you've got a hurdle that has to be, you have to jump over and deal with, that you wouldn't have to if you didn't have that problem. Satan is always looking for the crack. He's always looking for what he can trip you up at and accuse you. He stands every day before the Father accusing you. He is accuser of the brethren. And we overcome him with the word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. My friends, we've got to learn how to exercise one of the main tools that our Father has given us in Ephesians 6, and that is prayer. And if we have the hand for the word, right? What's the hand with the word? Hear, read, study, and meditate. Okay? If I may, confession, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession. I've given the references here. You can look them up later. But these areas are not just pamsy-whamsy, say some words. Confession, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Plain and simple, black and white. If you know of sin in your life, and you're coming to the Father and you're trying to pray for me, you aren't doing any good. You've got to deal with that yourself. You've got to confess that sin. Adoration, Isaiah 40, 28. God talks about Himself and how marvelous and exalted He is. Thanksgiving. These, you need to look these references up. Exercise those during the daytime. You don't have to do it at one time, one sitting of 10 minutes or 30 minutes. Exercise that during the day. Of being thankful to your Father. Of supplicating, praying for me. When you pray for Dick and my family, pray specific prayer. Then you can track it. Also, when you're praying Scripture, you know that it's the Father's will. Therefore, you know you're going to get what you pray for. Are you with me? 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will. He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions we desired of Him. So pray according to the Scripture. Father, I don't know how to pray for Chuck. I don't know how to pray for his situation. But Lord, yeah, he's lost. But Father, I'm asking that you apply this verse of Scripture to Chuck's life. Now, you think the Father's going to turn His back on that? No. The greatest tools that you and I have to fight against the enemy are just what He said, the word, His Word, which does not return void, but is quick and powerful and so sharp that it can divide the thoughts and intentions of a man's heart. That Word that tells us what the road is, when we're off the road, and how to get back on it. That Word that told me that I was a sinner and I was an enemy of God. And then it said, Dick, if you will trust what Jesus did, my son, on the cross, for yourself, I will forgive you. And I'll come into your heart and I'll change you from the inside out. That same Word is the Word that says, for me to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as I know, my labor is not in vain in Him. You becoming involved in the life of another individual by encouragement, by praying specifically for them, you are doing spiritual warfare. There won't be any tanks. It won't be in a newspaper. But the life will be changed. It's recorded in heaven. Now, where do you want it recorded? In the newspaper? were in heaven. The main conflicts with tanks and planes and bombs and all and guns, that gets worldwide communication just like that. CNN, boom, happened 15 minutes ago. And it's known around the world. But when Steve prays for me and intercedes on my behalf against discouragement and despair, God moves immediately. Now, if you remember in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was praying for help. And then the Spirit told him, you know, the day that you prayed for help, I was dispatched from heaven. But it's taken me 18 days to get here because I had to fight against the supernatural powers that were over Persia. Michael had to come and assist me. So gang, don't lose heart. When you're praying and you don't get answers, you're praying for a sister or a grandmother or a brother or your boss, and you're praying for their life to be changed, for them to be turned from darkness to light and the power of Satan to God. You're praying for them to embrace the living Jesus. You're praying for them to be willing to turn aside from the falsehood that they've heard and to embrace Jesus Christ as He's presented in Scripture. You're saying that, and you've been doing that now for 3 months, 4 months, and nothing's happened. Are you going to quit? You are engaging the enemy. The enemy has that person and is not going to let him go. But how persistent will you be to take him away? He's already been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. God is not willing that he should perish. So what will you do? Will you stand in and will you pull him away? Will you pray persistently, night and day, for how many years? Not all of us in this room are willing to do that. But the question is, will you? What will it take to render you? I'm out of here. Man, I didn't sign up for this. I'm a short-termer. Our Father has called you and me as personal ambassadors. God's whole plan for the universe is wrapped up in you and me. If we don't carry it on, it doesn't get carried. He started with 12, which came to us. Now, what will it take to trip you up? One final thought. In that same regard, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called on the spot, were given an opportunity to renege, to back out, because they were accused before the king, hey, king, these three guys refused to bow down to your idol. So the king is hot and mad about this, and he says, now you guys, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Bow down to my idol, and we'll call the whole thing off. And what did they say? They said, hey, our God that we worship is able to save us from the fiery furnace, but if he chooses not to, that's fine with us. We are still not going to bow down to your false idol. That really made him hot. Threw him in a furnace. But when they came out, what happened? They weren't even singed. You couldn't even smell the fire on them. Now, they were given an opportunity to renege. They were given an opportunity to retreat. They were given an opportunity to back out. Satan will give you an opportunity to back out. But you've got to have decided now, up front, before the conflict, what you're going to do. Does that make sense? Father, it's wonderful to be your child. Thank you for all of the warriors that you have that are surrounding us, protecting us, going before us. Thank you for defending us against the wiles of Satan that wants to destroy us. Thank you for giving us your word that is quick and powerful and sharp. Thank you for allowing us to share our hearts with you about somebody else and for that to be effective. Thank you for allowing us to confess our sin and to expect and to know that there's forgiveness. Thank you that when I humble myself before you, you will strengthen me and you will go as my defender. These people in this room, I'm asking in the name of your Son Jesus and the power of His blood and the authority of His name that not one of these people in this room will become a casualty through disbelief, through willingness to sin, through complaining and giving up. But every single one in this room will become a man and a woman that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. A man and a woman that will reproduce their life in the life of another one. Will be an encourager. You fulfill your will in each of our lives. I would agree with you, and I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.